What a joy it is to be with you all this morning. If you would have asked me a year ago what I would be doing, I never would have imagined I'd be standing in front of you. You see, I had a plan for my life, and that plan included graduating from Kuiper College with a degree of intercultural studies in my hand and jetting off into doing mission work abroad. Either this passion drove me so far as to I even had a job lined up with the Peace Corps to teach English upon graduation. However, by my last semester, the Lord made it very clear that this was not the plan that he had for me. And he also made very clear that this plan that I had been working for so long was just that, it was my plan. It wasn't his plan. I spent so much time focusing on going out that I lost focus of what was here. And since then, God has laid this calling upon me to go to seminary and to study to become a hospice chaplain. What a change of events. And this sudden change of events is both exciting, but also scary. And to be honest, it's still going to be scary and exciting. In today's text, we see the continuation of God's plan. The disciples were walking about in their community and telling others about Jesus and the new life that was possible through his death and resurrection. Soon enough, the high priest received word of this and called the Sanhedrin, which is a group of elders in the nation of Israel. And he met them to talk about what was happening. You see, the high priest and the Sanhedrin wanted to maintain control over the nation of Israel, and they viewed the workings of the disciples as a threat. The disciples were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. But during this interaction, the disciples confronted the elders and the high priests, and they explained that they were the ones that they were going to obey only God, not human leaders. As you can imagine, this caused great tension between the disciples and the Sanhedrin. There must have been fear, but also excitement. We see from the high priest and the Sanhedrin that there is a need for control. This applies to us even today, because we love control. How often do we seek control over our health, our finances, our children, our living situations, our education? And when we feel like we have this sense of security, how often do we just sit there feeling secure because we have a plan? We have deemed what's the next steps for us. We decided to go on a plane and go abroad. But dear friends, we are not all that different from the religious leaders. We listen to other human beings and leaders before we listen to God. We let others control us. That whole word control just has so many facets and so many meanings to us in different situations. But as a result of this, we also see so much brokenness. We see suffering, and we see the many areas in which we are very sinful beings. We see it in government corruption, persecution, and fear of death. I know that many present in this room have even had to flee their country because of this corruption and all of this fear. Just sit with that for a moment. All of the fear and control and how that hinders us from listening to God. During this fall, I had the wonderful opportunity to attend the Wounded Hearts group that met after church on Sundays. This group consisted of mainly refugees and immigrants, and I was very happy to be a part of it and to learn more about you all and learn more about what others have seen in their lives. And during all these meetings, a huge part of it was sharing stories. And during these stories, I noticed a theme of fear. I noticed that there was a fear of the government, a fear of others, and a fear of what would happen next. And during the sharing of these past traumas, My heart lamented and mourned for all the things that this group has seen. And I thought, even in a bigger perspective, all the things that each of you has seen. This theme of fear is so large. But the beautiful part of this group was, after we shared about the different things that have been taken part of, we had a time to pray. We had a time to lament, but also to thank God for where we were in our lives, where each individual was brought from another country or a situation and brought here, the Church of the Servant. Thanks be to God. And now, looking more back into our text and thinking about this control, how often do we, instead of controlling things, just sit and wait and pray? Last week, Pastor Karen talked a lot about prayer, talked a lot about just sitting and waiting. Church, we are all so broken, and so many things have taken places in our lives. Each and every one of you has a story, whether you grew up in Grand Rapids or West Michigan or another country. No matter where you came from, you all have a story and have seen things. And just as the disciples, you have felt this weight of your faith. When we find ourselves taking control and wanting to live in fear, again, these are obstacles for us that we put in front of us that hinder us from listening to God and what he's saying to us. Now let's look back on the disciples. They've been taken to the Sanhedrin, the group of elders of Israel. And during this time, a teacher of the law, who was highly respected, named Gamaliel, stood up and had the disciples leave the room. He then explained to the high priest and the other elders that they should be careful how they handled this situation. He told stories of other rebel groups and told stories of their outcome. He explained that with their outcome, if it was of human desire or human plan, it would wither away. But if this was a working of the Lord, it will happen no matter what. And by doing this, the Sanhedrin's attention was brought to the situation. They had to think long and clearly of what the next steps were going to be. Soon after Gamaliel was speaking, the decision was made to let the disciples go. However, the disciples were given strict instructions never to speak the name of Jesus again, and they were beaten before they were let go. Friends, in this story, the grace of God runs so deep through all of these happenings. Gamaliel didn't have to speak. He was of high status and power. But when he spoke, there was a divine intervention. Again, he didn't have to speak. How else would a high priest of high respect speak at all? He was on the group of the opposing side. And also, when the disciples were beaten, they were left smiling. Smiling. Just sit with that for a moment. You're beaten, you're whipped, but yet you're still smiling. There's so much grace found within that. And when they were left celebrating. And they were so excited that they were given another chance to go into the community and preach the name of Jesus. No matter what the Sanhedrin said, they knew their calling. They knew what would happen to them. And yet, they were left smiling. Church, the actions of the disciples in this way, and the way they were left celebrating, is good news. Just as the disciples, we are believers and have the presence of a Holy Spirit in us. This is a divine gift to each and every one of us. Just as Paul explains in our 1 Corinthian text, our words are different from wisdom of this world. Our words are different from those of the rulers of this world. Now, this does not mean that we are to disrespect our leaders. We are to pray for them. We are to seek God's guidance with our decisions and directions. Now, as we enter into another week, I invite you to ponder these texts and the moments when you feel loss, doubt, discouragement, anxiety, depression. Cling to this truth. God has the final word. The final word. No matter what we face this week, the same God that brought the Israelites to the promised land, the same God that spread the sea, the same God that sent his son to die for us, is the same one that has a plan for each and every one of you. And with this, we are showered by grace when we don't deserve it. We deserve to be beaten. And yet we should be left celebrating that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as this grace is given unto us, we need to extend that grace unto others. We need to be advocates for each other, to sit and pray with one another, to sit and pray for the direction and leading. Maybe you can relate to my story of how my life didn't unfold as I had planned. When God made it clear that his plan was not my plan, I felt fear, a loss of control. I had to figure out what to do my senior year of college, which is traumatizing. And I didn't feel secure about my future. And again, that word control and secure, those were huge parts of what I wanted. I wanted control. I wanted to feel like I was the one leading. However, things changed quickly. And thanks be to God that things changed so quickly. And just as it is both scary and exciting, I am confident in the Creator that guides me and that guides each and every one of you. God has a plan for my life, but he also has a plan for your life. This plan cannot be stopped. Just as Gamaliel was explaining to the elders, dear ones, I don't know what's in store for you this next week. There may be fear, but when fear arises, I invite you to lay all of it down at the feet of Christ. Remember that God's plan is unstoppable and that we have the comfort of being loved by a God that's bigger than anything that comes our way. This is good news. Thanks be to God.